Still waiting for the book, so I will say a few words before the book will come. First of all, it's a great honor for me to speak in front of all of you. I feel very humbled and undeserving. But because my dear friend Siddhama Prabhu asked me to speak, following his order, I'm sitting here. What I will try to speak about is an interesting section from Srimad Bhagavatam, from the 29th chapter of the 3rd canto, where, in my humble opinion, everything which is necessary for us to know is contained. There are so many lofty topics in Srimad Bhagavatam, but as far as our reality as practicing devotees is concerned, this particular chapter is the most relevant, or at least most relevant. The verses which I'll read today, specifically four verses or maybe five verses, they are especially relevant for our practice and for us to help other people to progress in the path of devotional service. So I will start with chanting. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jaya Mudiraye. Nashta Prayeshva Badrishu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevayam. Bhagavatyutama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Yam pravrajanta manopeta mapeta krityam dvaipayana virahakataraha juhava putreti tanmayatayo taravo vinedus tam sarvabhuta hridayam munimanatosmi. So we will start with the verse number 14. And the chapter is called Explanation of Devotional Service by Lord Kapiladev. And the verse 14 is located in between the two important sections of this chapter, which I will delineate a little later. So I kindly repeat. Saeva Bhakti Yoga Khya. Atyantika udahrita, yenati vrajya trigunam, madbhavaya papadyate, saeva bhakti yoga khya, atyantika udahrita, yenati vrajya trigunam, madbhavaya papadyate. Saha, this. Eva, indeed. Bhakti yoga, devotional service. Akhya, called. Atyantika, the highest platform. Udahrita, explained. Yena, by which. Ativrajya, overcoming. Trigunam. Three modes of material nature. Madbhavaya. Transcendental stage. Upapadyate. One attains. Translation. By attaining the highest platform of devotional service, as I have explained, one can overcome the influence of the three modes of material nature and be situated in the transcendental stage as is the Lord. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada ki. Sripada Shankaracharya, who is supposed to be the leader of the impersonalist school of philosophers, has admitted in the beginning of his comments on Bhagavad Gita that Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is beyond the material creation. Except for him, everything is within the material creation. It is also confirmed in the Vedic literature that before the creation there was only Narayana. Neither Lord Brahma nor Lord Shiva existed. Only Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu or Krishna, is always in the transcendental position beyond the influence of material creation. The material qualities of goodness, passion and ignorance cannot affect the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, He is called Nirguna, free from all the things of material qualities, of all the tinges of material qualities. Here the same fact is confirmed by Lord Kapila, who is situated in pure devotional service. One who is situated in pure devotional service is transcendentally situated as the Lord Himself. Just as the Lord is unaffected by the influence of material modes, so too are His pure devotees. One who is not affected by the three modes of material nature is called a liberated soul or Brahma-Buddha soul. Brahma-Buddha prasanatma is the stage of liberation. Aham Brahmasmi, I am not this body. This is applicable only to the person who constantly engages in the devotional service of Krishna and is thus in the transcendental stage. He is above the influence of the three modes of material nature. It is the misconception of the impersonalist that one who can worship any imaginary form of the Lord or Brahman and at the end merge into the Brahman it is the misconception of the impersonalist that one can worship any imaginary form of the Lord or Brahman and at the end merge in the Brahman effulgence. Of course, to merge into the bodily effulgence of Brahman or the Supreme Lord is also liberation, as explained in the previous verse. Ekatva is also liberation, but that sort of liberation is never accepted by any devotee, for qualitative oneness is immediately attained as soon as one is situated in the devotional service. For a devotee, that qualitative equality which is the result of impersonal liberation is already attained. He does not have to try for it separately. It is clearly stated here that simply by pure devotional service one becomes qualitatively as good as the Lord Himself. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jaya. Sa eva bhakti yoga kya atyantikah udahritah yena ativrajya trigunam tad bhavaya upapadyate. By attaining the highest platform of devotional service, as I have explained, one can overcome the influence of the three modes of material nature and be situated in the transcendental stage, as is the Lord. Om Agyana Timirandasya Agyanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namini. Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Prachayini. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarini. Vanchaka upatarodescha kripa sindhu devacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Ajanu Amrita Bhujo Kanakavadhatu Sankirtanai Kapitaro Kamalaya Taksha Vishvambaro Vijavaro Yogudaro Kama Vande Jagat Priyakaro Karuna Vatam Yantah Pravishya Mama Vachima Mamka Suktam Sanjeevaya Dakhila Shakti Darasvadamna Anyamscha Hasta Charana Shravanatvagahi Pranannamo Bhagavate Purushami Turiyam. Hare Krishna. My specific aim is to try to review the four following verses, the verses which follow after this particular verse. But I started with this verse to give a little introduction to the whole topic. Shri Kapila Dev, answering the question of his mother, and his mother is saying that, please explain to me this glorious devotional service which can free oneself from the sufferings in this material world. And she specifically asks him, please explain to me different variations of devotional service. We are so used to say devotional service, and we're so used to label any of our activities as devotional service that sometimes the distinction between different kinds of devotional service becomes a little blurry. And therefore, Shri Kapila Dev starts explaining in a very beautiful way that there is devotional service and there is devotional service. Usually when we say devotional service, we mean pure devotional service, and by default, we imply that every one of us is engaged in pure devotional service. This may or may not be true. And to make this distinction very clear, Lord Kapila Dev starts with explaining the devotional service in the modes of material nature. And if we carefully study, which is not the subject of our discussion, but still, if we carefully study these variations of devotional service, we will, with great sadness, discover that, you know, we see them quite often around us. He basically says that there is, you know, and sometimes it's shocking to hear that you can perform devotional service in a tamagun. But no problem. If you are in tamagun, your devotional service will be in tamagun. It cannot be otherwise. So, and basically, Lord Kapila Dev says that the main distinguishing point is our internal motivation, not the external form. Sometimes we can see that somebody is really pakka in his devotional service, is really, you know, he's really fixed up. It doesn't mean that he's engaged in pure devotional service, not at all. Because you cannot see the heart, but for the Lord, only the heart what matters. Bhava Grahi Janardhanam, he only accepts Bhava, he doesn't accept the form. You know, you can be very fixed up, but what is your motivation? That's the question which we have to really be conscientious and give a very clear answer to ourselves. What's going on within our heart? What is the reason? You know, the pure devotional service is that we perform it only for the pleasure of the Lord. That's the vritti within the mind. Why? What is the reason? I want to please the Supreme Lord, bas. There is no other reason, there is no other cause behind what I am doing. But very often we can see that, you know, I am doing the pure devotional service, or I am doing the devotional service, and I am very fixed up so that others will notice that I'm fixed up and will appreciate how fixed up I am and will praise me for being so fixed up. Or sometimes people, you know, I know that sometimes people, especially, you know, they try to build big temples, you know, and this competitive spirit is there, and so on and so forth. There is no need to describe it in details because this is not the question, not the subject of our discussion. But we have to be very clear, and that it's not so easy, and it's not by default that we are engaged in devotional service. Because it's a very high position, as it is said in this verse. It's basically, as soon as you reach the stage of devotional service, you're on the same level as the Lord Himself. This is the highest evolution of the human being, and you know, it's not so easy to reach. So basically, Lord Kapiladev says that in Tamagun there can be three motivations: Himsa, Dambha, and Matsarya. Very beautiful motivations. Sometimes you can perform devotional service to inflict pain to other people. Believe it or not, it's quite common. I myself heard it many times. Because you somehow or other touched my false ego, I will perform devotional service and the Lord will, you will see what the Lord will do to you. I heard it so many times from, you know, publicly people speaking this, you know, Lord has a special affection to me and He protects me and you will see what He will do to you. And I will chant my extra rounds for this to make sure that He does what He's supposed to do. You know, that's Himsa, and of course Dambha, you know, you become very hypocritical, or you become very proud what you're doing, and you are, you know, dressing the deities very nicely. Why are you dressing the deities very nicely? You know, just to show off how nicely you are dressing the deities. And Matsarya, you are competitive, and you are up to the point of envious. And Kapiladev, basically, the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that there is all these motivations are in the modes of nature, but it can be tamasic tamas, rajasic tamas, and sattvic tamas. Matsari is better than the other thing. You know, if you're really envious and try to inflict pain, that's very bad. Anyway, so he gives the three motivations in Rajagun and three motivations in Sattvagun. But then he says how to recognize that I'm engaged in pure devotional service, or at least I reached the stage of pure devotional service. And he says that the indication, the lakshana, is very simple. As soon as you hear little bit Shruti Matrina, just little bit about the Lord, your whole consciousness just is streaming towards Him. You're so much in bliss about hearing the Lord that as soon as you little bit hear about Him, just little name of His or whatever, immediately your consciousness or your heart is streaming towards the Lord, as the Ganges is streaming towards the ocean. And he specifically says that two characteristics of this pure devotional service are very important. It's nirantara, it's constant, and it doesn't have any break. It's very powerful. Nothing can stop it. There is no impediment in your pure devotional service. And if we see that there are some impediments, other words, if we see that there is something which is of some interest in this world, something which distracts us from the devotional service, And I believe, at least I'm speaking about myself, there's plenty of things which distract me from devotional service. It is an indication that I'm not yet on this stage. Even though I may think sometimes, it's pretty far out, I reached it. I'm already there. But the point is that there is no impediment in pure devotional service, so much so, and that's what Kapila Dev says, how do you recognize it within yourself? And this test is very simple, which is, I mean, not a very simple test, but it's a very vivid kind of test, he says. And he gives only one verse or two verses describing the pure devotional service, but then he says that the experience which devotee has who reached this stage of pure devotional service is so overwhelming and so beautiful and so so amazing that even if the Lord Himself comes to you and says, please take liberation from me, any kind of liberation, just come close to me, be on my planet, live there forever, you know, and get free food every day, you refuse it. You will just say no, flatly. And this is not such an easy test, because really, you know, you have to be, even, let's say, with all due respect, this is having, you know, saying this, I don't want to denigrate anyone, but even if we take Vaishnavas from other sampradayas, their highest goal is liberation. And here Kapila Dev says, highest goal is not liberation. Liberation is not the highest goal, because the devotee who reached the highest goal, he rejects liberation. So that's just the introduction to the topic, but the most interesting section follows after that. And then this verse which I read is there in the explanation of Kapila Dev. And then the most interesting section of just four verses. In these four verses, Kapila Dev explains how to come from the conditioned stage within the modes of material nature to the pure stage. And there is a lot of little details which I discovered by studying very carefully these four verses, which I want to share with you. And as far as I can understand, this is the complete program for a practicing devotee. This is a complete, you don't have to know anything else, as I already said, to reach this highest possible stage of devotional service, which is really pure devotional service, beyond the modes. This transitional period is somewhat difficult. So the reason why I decided to speak about this is because if we deliberate on these verses, we will understand some intricacies and some mistakes. Because unfortunately, what I have seen in my own experience, it probably doesn't refer to you, but I have seen many devotees who imagine themselves to be transcendental. Oh, they already gave up families and, you know, they're so renounced and they're living as brahmacharis in the ashram, making mess there and, you know, but when they speak, they're hard, you know. But at the same time, there is no progress. So many devotees, they imagine, they use all this glorification of devotional service, of pure devotional service, which is there in our scriptures, as an excuse not to move to this stage. To pretend that they're already there. You know, and sometimes we can see that the progress doesn't really take place. And they are not really advancing. They're stuck. And for years and years and years, they do the same sort of things, and and nothing really happens. And sooner or later they become disappointed and leave the devotional service altogether, and then they say, you know, what did I get? I didn't get anything. I just spent the best years of my life in this dirty ashram, which I myself made so dirty. And and that's it, or something like this. I heard this strange sort of philosophies. So therefore, this little things, just four verses, and the whole practice is there. Of course, we can say that this, and I will probably not say anything new to you. I'm very acutely aware that probably you will not hear anything new now, but still, because all these practices which are listed by Lord Kapila Dev are already built in. But still, while describing them, I just want to emphasize some points which may not be so clear if we just read them casually. So, I will start with the verse 15, the next verse, which reads, Nisevita Animitena Svadharmena Mahiya Sa Kriya Yogena Shastena Natihim Srena Nityasaha. And while I was reading these verses, I was really struck again how ingeniously Srila Prabhupada incorporated all these verses within our daily activities, but somehow or other some things we sometimes miss. So this verse is the beginning, and what I will also try to say is that these four verses constitute a progression. This is my own understanding. Please, you know, if you don't like, don't take it seriously. But still, I think that it gives some deeper understanding to these verses if we consider them as a progression, because even though we have to perform all these activities which are listed in these four verses from the beginning, from the outset, but the emphasis will be different. I think that will give some understanding how to counsel the devotees who start devotional service, what should be the emphasis in the beginning, what should be emphasis there. Because looking back myself in my path which I traversed, I can clearly see that even though I knew all these things, certain things I just couldn't really perform properly, even though I was trying to do this. But at one stage of my life, I realized how important it is and how it should be done and how it should not be done. So the first verse starts describing the sadhana or transitional sadhana, how to come from the condition where you are in the modes of material nature to the transcendental stage. We usually say that devotional service starts with what? Shravanam. Right? Yeah. Is it not true? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnaoh, and we always stress Shravanam, Shravanam, Shravanam. Kapila Dev doesn't agree with this. He puts Shravanam at the very end. He puts Shravanam, but in the fourth verse, at the very end of this. And the reason is very simple. Because in the beginning, when you hear something, you hear in the modes of nature. Because your mind is in the modes of nature, and whatever you hear is being filtered through your mind and being distorted. And your ego has very powerful defensive mechanisms. And you will not be able to hear what you don't like to hear. You will only hear what is pleasing to your ego. You know, we will not elaborate on this, but we all know this. You know, sometimes I can see it. Sometimes I specifically, when I give lecture, And I know a problem of somebody who is present in the audience, and I kind of direct what I'm saying directly to him, and I'm even looking at him, and inevitably he doesn't understand that it's about him. You know, I think everyone else understands it's about him, but he doesn't. It's too painful for the ego. You know, that's why Shravanam, because it's in the beginning, it's in the modes, you know, it cannot be perfect. It doesn't have such a powerful effect. It does have an effect. No doubt about it. The chanting has an effect, but we know because it's imperfect, because it's filtered through the very, you know, fine, how you say this, sift?
Sift
of the false ego, which doesn't really allow something which is not really reinforcing to your ego to go in, it doesn't work. Therefore, Kapila Dev, he starts from very interesting point, which usually we kind of, again, it doesn't refer to you because here everything is balanced properly, but I have seen it in many cases how it is distorted. He says, Niseritena animitena svadarnena mahiyasat. He says, you start with performing your duties. Svadarnena. The instrument which is there, which is available to you, is to perform your duties, but he gives two very interesting adjectives to your duties, which give us the understanding in which mood we should perform our duties. Because again, our duties may be detrimental to devotional service, or may be helpful. He says that if you want to start devotional service, which will gradually bring you to the stage equal to the Lord, you start with performing your duties in Varnashrama Dharma, Svadharmena. But then he says, Mahiyasa. Mahiyasa, Prabhupada translates, glorious, of course. You start with performing your duties, your glorious duties. What does it mean? It means basically that even though sometimes, you know, when we hear this, perform your duties, you know, you know, what is so glorious about it? Kapila Dev says, that's glorious. You know, if you perform your duties as a wife, it's glorious. It's not just something. It's glorious. If you perform your duties as a husband, it's glorious. If you perform your duties as a Shudra, it's glorious. You should understand this. It basically, what Kapila Dev tries to say to us, he's implanting into us this understanding that it's glorious to perform my own duties, even though they may not be pleasant and they may not be even honorable in the society. You know, in the society of devotees, being grihastha is not very honorable. Being brahmachari is very honorable. So I will perform my duties as a brahmachari. And yeah, and then I will become a sannyasi. And I will get a lot of maha. No, Kapila Dev says, no matter what you are, it's glorious what you're doing. It's very important to understand. Do it. Svadharmena mahiyasa. It's glorious. Or even if you're Shudra, it's glorious. Because the tendency, the human tendency, the tendency of our ego to try to perform some duties which is more honorable. Whereas if you are honestly performing it, that's glorious in the eyes of the Lord. And what else do we need? So that's the first adjective which he adds here. And the second is nisevitena animitena. You do it animitena, you perform it animitena means without any nimitta, without any cause. That's another mistake which one can make. And of course, again, it may or may not apply here in this audience, but it's possible, and I have seen it in our Russian society of Krishna consciousness, how it's being done improperly. Sometimes people become so, you know, in our preaching, we become so enthusiastic about preaching this this Svadharmena, prescribed duties. It goes as pendulum, as we know. Initially we are very renounced, and then we become very, you know, paka, you know, grihasta, this or that. And sometimes I have seen, we have a lot of preachers who preach in a sort of indirect way, and what they try to preach, these prescribed duties, how glorious it is, how nice it is, how beneficial it is, how it is the key for success, and how it will bring to you everything which you desire. And a lot of this glorification of prescribed duties is there in the Vedic literature. And there is a lot of people who are attracted to this sort of preaching. Okay, I want success. You know, like recently I was giving some sort of public lecture, and in one club, and it's one group, and the leader of this group, he's a devotee, but he's totally engaged into dealing with these new people, completely brand new people and successful people. And I was speaking something about ego and how you should, you know, work with the ego, how ego should not be too egoistic. And he was sitting at the end of the class, at the end of the classroom. And at one point he started making some signs to me. And I couldn't understand his signs. I was very agitated, and I was trying to understand what he wants to say. And I was going on with my, you know, quite heavy lecture. It was quite heavy. And he was quite alarmed. Ultimately, he couldn't contain himself. He just ran in front of me, took my microphone and said, "And this will bring success to you. You should understand that this will bring success to you. You shouldn't be too scared of, you know." So what I mean to say is that, you know, Kapila Dev says, you perform your duties, but animitena. You have to be very clear. I'm doing my duties not because of some nimit, not because of some other reason, not because I want to achieve something else. I'm doing it as a service of the Lord to achieve the pure devotional service. So that's the instruction how to do this. And then he says, Kriya Yogena Shastena, Kriya Yogena, and it's also very interesting. At the same time he says, I think there is also very important emphasis here, which is sometimes missed by neophyte devotees. He says, you do your duties at the same time you do Kriya Yoga. He doesn't say Bhakti Yogena. Bhakti Yogena Shastina, he says Kriya Yogena Shastina. So Kriya Yogena, by saying Kriya Yogena, what does he want to emphasize? You do some practical devotional service. You do your prescribed duties, but then you do something which you can do with your body, because, and sometimes we can see that neophyte devotees, they hear about, you know, the glory of the smaranam. And smarana basically means you don't have to do anything. You just you just remember the Lord. Isn't it a nice proposition? You know, I can just, you know, I'm engaged in the highest possible devotional service. I just remember about the Lord. You know, and then I sleep half a day, you know, while remembering the Lord. So Kapila Dev says, Kriya Yogena Shastina. You do something practical, and that's exactly what Prabhupada was doing when he established Krishna consciousness movement. He says, work now, samadhi later. And it's not even clear when. You know, you just work. You work hard. Don't be too much into samadhi, you know, because in the beginning, that's why I said I think it is important to see the progression in these verses. It's very clear that in the beginning you have to emphasize that, you know, kriya yogena shastinam. And then another point in this verse which he says, na atihim srena nityashaha, which is again very important instruction. Na atihim srena, please do your devotional service, perform your duties, but without excessive violence. Na atihim srena nityashaha. Please be careful. He says, he more or less establishes the mood, how you should perform your practices of devotional service. And of course, Srila Prabhupada, he emphasized the vegetarian diet, saying that atihim srena, Prabhupada says in a very beautiful way, he says that sometimes people say that, you know, we kill the cow and you kill the vegetables. What is the difference between us? And Prabhupada says, yes, there is no difference in one sense, because killing means killing. But what you are doing, it's atihim srena. What we are doing is na atihim srena. So we should not be too idealistic or too impractical in one sense. We have to understand that the violence is there. This world is based on violence. The violence is, it's unavoidable in this world, but na atihim srena. And I will allow myself to add something to what Prabhupada has to say while he is explaining this instruction of Lord Kapila there. I would say that the very important additional meaning to this atihim srena is that we are inflicting pain not only by killing animals, we are inflicting pain more, you know, we may not inflict pain by killing the animals, but we very often inflict pain by speaking. And the pain which we cause while speaking is much more severe. There is a specific verse in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam where it is said that if you injure somebody, the wound will take 2-3 days, maybe 1 month to heal. At best, few months. But if you target the sharp arrows of your words into the heart of a living entity, the wound will be paining for years and years and years. So, in my humble opinion, na atihim srena means also a very important instruction not to speak ill, not to find faults in others. Without necessity. It may not be completely avoidable. You have to say sometimes very harsh words to other people. Therefore it is said, na atihim srena. If you don't have to say this, don't say this. If you have to say this, say this. And then say kshama kijiye. Main Hindi sikhta ho. Lekin mera Hindi ka gyan bahut kam hai. Isliye main angrezi mein bolta ho. Agle bar main Hindi ka pravachan prayas karunga. Anyway, coming back to the point of atihim srena. Atihim srena means unnecessary violence. It means please be careful. Perform your devotional service, but if we inflict unnecessary violence, it means that we are more or less reinforcing or establishing our position within the modes of material nature. Actually, the sad effect of fault finding is that you're more or less fixing your position in the modes of nature. You are developing some attachments to your situation. This is how fault finding works, but it doesn't matter. Let's go to the next verse. That's the first verse. So again, in my humble opinion, that's the beginning instructions for the beginning devotees. Please do your duties, do it without attachment. Understand that doing your duties is glorious. Do it with self-esteem. Do it in a very, with self-esteem. It's important to do your duties. But at the same time, do some active devotional service, and please be careful about offending other devotees. So the next verse is actually very interesting and very beautiful, because again, this is something which we would put in the beginning, but that's something which Kapiladev puts next. He says, Maddishnya darshana sparsha puja stut adivandanai buteshu madbhavanaya sattvena anasangenacha. It's a very beautiful instruction. The next instruction again is very important. He says, Maddishnya means my statue, my form, my vigraha, my archivigraha. Darshana sparsha puja stuti abhivadanai. So basically he says that the next point of our sadhana is the worship of the deity. And it specifically says that darshana sparsha basically means it's your personal relationship with the deity. You touch the deity, and you stuti, you glorify the deity, abhivadanai, you offer the prayers to the deity, and you do something practical, dress the deity by touching the deity form of the Lord. So he says that the next point is archana, which is important, but then he doesn't say just archana, which is extremely, again, extremely important. He says, what is the reason why we do archana? Because again, sometimes people do archana, and if they do it in an improper mood, then it's the cause for their pride, for increasing their pride. I'm doing this archana, I'm offering 64 upacharas, my upacharas are the best. I'm doing it with the best possible things. Kapildev says, Bhutishu madbhavanaya. You have to understand that why we are doing the devotional service to the deity, to understand that other living entities are on the same level as the Lord. Madbhavanaya. You have to understand what is the reason of serving the Lord, to understand the spiritual position of every living entity, the connection of every living entity with the Lord, Madbhavanaya. That's the real reason behind archana. That ultimately, archana is only successful as much as you develop the spiritual vision, and you will be able to understand the spiritual nature of other human beings, basically, of other living entities. If you don't reach this stage, your archana will become, as Kapiladev will say in a few verses, in 21st verse, he will say, it will be as useless as pouring ghee into the ashes. You may pour a lot of ghee into the ashes, and the best ghee from the best goshala, but no result will be there. If you don't at the same time understand the connection of the living entities, that's the point. We're trying to serve the Lord, to understand the spiritual nature of the living entities and their connection with the Lord. And of course, Srila Prabhupada says, gives a very hilarious example in his purport. He says that it doesn't mean that you have to embrace the tiger because he's a part and parcel of the Lord. You know, while, you know, you worship the deity and you become so overwhelmed, you just ran to the tiger and say, "My dear tiger, my dear friend." No, he says, no, no, be normal. Don't again, don't distort what Krishna wants to say to us. Krishna wants to emphasize the spiritual nature which we will have to recognize. Ultimately, that's a very important point, because our vision at the present moment is material. We can only see matter. And the progress in devotional service means that we are progressing in our spiritual vision. We're seeing the presence of the Lord within our heart, within the holy name, within Srimad Bhagavatam, within the devotees, and ultimately within all the living entities. And only in this way we will be able to live this life properly. But again, you cannot give this instruction in the beginning to a neophyte devotee. He will try to embrace the tiger. If you start off with this sort of instruction, he will not understand. He will say, "Oh, everything is nice. Yeah. Everything is spiritual." It will be just kalpana, just imagination. He will not see this, and therefore he will not discriminate. So therefore the first initial training is there, and then this is the next stage. You are performing the worship of the deities with a particular reason in mind, or purpose in mind, not reason, purpose, to see all the living entities as the parts and parcels of the Lord. But there is another very beautiful things here. Sattvena anasangamena cha. Sattvena anasangamena cha. And Prabhupada, even though he translates it, he should see this in a spirit of renunciation from the mode of goodness. Sattvena anasangamena. See every living entity as a spiritual. It's very interesting, because first of all, to see other living entities as spiritual, you really have to be very detached, because there will be living entities who will be nasty to you. And if you are attached to your own sukha and dukkha, your own happiness and distress and things like this, you know, you may see somebody who is, you know, who is nice to you as spiritual. To see somebody who is nasty to you as spiritual is very difficult. It's very difficult. You may make an exception, you know, he's not spiritual. Basically, what Kapila Dev wants to say to us here, by saying this, sattvena anasangamena cha, you try to do it in a spirit of detachment. You try to see the spiritual side of any living entities, even though he may have a nasty character or nasty features. To relate to a spiritual side, this is a very big science. You know, sometimes we lose this perspective while dealing with the devotees. We can see that they manifest some material features. Do they? They do. How not to allow these material features for us to cover the spiritual side? How to always see that this is the soul which is striving towards the Lord, even though imperfectly. So that's an instruction which Kapila Dev gives here. This very fine vision of other living entities. you see them very soberly. You see their faults and problems, but at the same time, you still try to relate to their spiritual side. And Prabhupada says that Srila Siddhartha Swami, while commenting on this verse, says Satvena means Dharyena, means to be tolerant. Satvena matlab Dharyena. It means basically that you know, it's not so easy. You have to be really tolerant, because others, you know, others will still try to cause some problems to you. And even though they cause the problems to you, you still think about their benefit. And especially your counselees. I don't know about your counselees. My counselees cause a lot of problem for me, and it's very difficult for me to see them in a spiritual their connection with the Lord. Yeah, they are, you know, like Hridayananda Maharaj, he said that there are three kinds of sufferings in this world: adibhautika, adidaivika, and adhyatmika. But there is a fourth kind for the spiritual masters, that's adidasika, adidasika klesha. You know, the sufferings which are inflicted by your counselees. You know, sometimes people can be very ungrateful, sometimes people can be very rude, and so many other things. Therefore, he says, Satvena means you should be very tolerant. You should develop this glorious quality of tolerating the imperfections of other living entities, and be really fixed in your attempts to see their connection with the Lord. Am I doing okay? Are you still with me? Okay, so there is only two verses left. So please bear with me. And the next verse is, of course, very interesting. And again, I think it is important to place it within the certain context, meaning that this is certain stage of development, of spiritual development, in the course of our sadhana. The next verse is very simple, very straightforward. Mahatan bahumanina dinanam anukampaya maitriya chayvatma tulyeshu yamena niyanena cha. It's the you know, common instruction which is repeated in Srimad Bhagavatam several times, in the fourth canto and here in the third canto. Mahatam bahumanina, you have to treat somebody who is mahatam, the great devotee, with bahumanina, with a lot of respect. Dinanam anukampaya, the compassion should be there for fallen people. And maitriyam atmatulyeshu, that the mood for the equal to you, atmatulyeshu, should be maitriyam, the friendship. So it's again simple thing, but yamena niyamena cha, it is added here. You know, basically what Kapila Dev wants to say to us is that we should strictly follow the etiquette in dealing with other devotees. Really have the code, yamena niyamena cha, have the very strict code how we deal with other people. Because the problem here is that, first of all, again, this is a certain thing, certain stage of our spiritual development. We cannot really do this instruction on the outset, because people, they just cannot relate properly. real compassion, anukampaya, develops at one point, not immediately. Real respect to great devotees develop not immediately. The ability to make friendship with the devotees develops at one point. We cannot really demand this from the beginning, because this relationship with other people, proper relationship with other people, implies certain level of purity of the heart. If the heart is impure, then inevitably people will try to manipulate others, or try to, you know, under the pretext of anukampaya or whatever. So what I want to say is that it's a certain elevated stage of consciousness, or our sadhana, which is not so easy to perform, because it does require a lot of purity in the heart. Of course, Srila Guru Maharaj, he emphasized it from the very beginning, which is very proper. But because otherwise we will commit a lot of offenses and everything. But at the same time, the ability to enter into very deep and meaningful relationship is not developed immediately. The ability to even to you know, live and work in a relationship with our spiritual master should not be taken for granted. It requires you know, very humble ego. And this humble ego, of course, will be mentioned in the next verse, in the last verse of this series. But again, just not to dwell on this verse, because it's quite straightforward and simple. Still, I want to say that this is something which is which should not be taken for granted, and which is because, again, sometimes I hear this emphasis in our preaching: relationship, relationship, relationship. And it's a good preaching, it's a proper preaching, but some people just cannot relate to relationship. They're just too selfish, they're too egocentric. They just, you know, yeah, relationship, they don't know what to do, they don't know how to function in the relationship. It may not be so prominent in India, but it's very prominent in the West. It's very prominent, because people, they have no relationship in the West. Hardly any. No family relationship. You know, they only have relationship with the computer. That's the only kind of relationship is still there. You know, the husband is sitting in one room, the wife is sitting in another room, and he's sending email to the wife. So, and she's replying him back, you know, by email. You know, it's really, people went too far, and you know, that they joined our society, and you emphasize relationship, and they don't know how to do this, and they develop relationship in the Facebook, you know. So that's the relationship. I have so many friends in my Facebook. You know, nobody cares about you, but you know, you anyway. So what I want to say, that Kapila Dev says that this is certain important instruction, but it requires certain prerequisite purification of the heart, and developing certain abilities within yourself. And the last verse is extremely important and extremely extremely interesting for us. It's perhaps the most interesting in the whole of this series, with a lot of implications for us. Adhyatmika anishravanan nama sankirtana chame arjavenarya sangena Nirahan Kriyaya Tatha. Again, all the words in the series of the verses, they are in instrumental case in Sanskrit. Basically, it means it's sadhanas, it's different kinds of sadhanas. The tools which you have to perform devotional service, which will ultimately elevate your consciousness beyond the modes of material nature. So, the first thing, I explained it the other day, a couple of days back here in this college, Adhyatmika Anusravena, which at the first look seems to be a very simple instruction. As I promised to you, Anusravanan, Adhyatmika Anusravanan, as I promised to you, Kapila Dev at the end will say, you listen, you hear. Hearing is important. The instruction which we usually give the first, he gives one of the last ones, but Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes a very interesting point while explaining what is meant by this. Adhyatmika Anusravanan. He says, if you translate it in a very straightforward way, it basically means you hear about Adhyatma, about the soul. Just hear some spiritual topics, more or less. And do it constantly, Anusravana. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, no, this is not what it means. Because again, sometimes we do hear that, just hear about Krishna, just hear about Krishna, just hear about Krishna. Everything will happen miraculously. It's not. Because we may hear about Krishna and we may again imagine ourselves, Krishna is so nice, and I'm so nice, and we are so nice together with him, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a very stern interpretation of this instruction of Kapila Dev. Because again, it's the instruction on the level of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. And he says, on the Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, Adhyatmika Anusravana means you listen the scriptures, how they describe your doshas and your gunas, your faults and your good qualities. While listening the scriptures, while listening the words of our Shastra, we have to really see how it describes my own faults and my own good qualities. In other words, the instruction here, very important instruction, that we are listening Anusravanam constantly for our introspection, for self-introspection. The purpose of listening is not just listening. Because sometimes we're listening and we are just, it's the food for our false ego. As I said, it can be the food for our false ego. We're listening, I'm very spiritual. I'm Kator Bhakta, very fixed up devotee. he says, Adhyatmika Anusravanan, you should listen, and the goal, the purpose of your listening should be to understand how it describes the fault of my heart or of my mind. Dosha and Guna. So specifically, you shouldn't, the one implication of this instruction is that you shouldn't be too much in a hurry about listening about Krishna's leelas. And Srila Prabhupada was very emphatic about this. He says, it's the most important, but don't be too much in a hurry. Ras Leela is for you, but not now. Just listen about your problems. Specifically, it's also a very interesting point which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes here. He says that while listening, you will inevitably Nama Sankirtana Chame, you will inevitably develop some Dhamma. Dhamma means pride. Dhamma means pretension. It's unfortunately a side effect of devotional service. In many cases, we become very proud. I am such a great devotee. I've been chanting this for 16 rounds without fail for 5 years, and you know, I'm so really the best. I mean, not the best, but best. And of course, deep in the heart, I know I'm the best. You know, everyone else is, they're trying. And at one point they will reach the stage which I am already now, and so on and so forth. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Nama Sankirtana Chaye, you chant in Sankirtana, but then the pride is there, Dhamma will be there. Dhamma will be there. It will. You know, because why the Dhamma will inevitably appear within our heart? Because there is so much glorification of devotional service in the scriptures. And because we are performing devotional service, we naturally think that the scriptures are talking about us. When the scriptures glorifying devotional service, we naturally, natural way, we think, oh yeah, right, I am great. So then, therefore, Kapila Dev gives the next instruction. He says, Arjavenarya Sangena. To avoid Dhamma. How to avoid Dhamma? How to avoid pride? How to avoid hypocrisy in our relationship towards devotional service? There is only one recipe. There is only one remedy for this. This is Arya Sangamena. You should associate with Arya. How? Arjavena. You should be very simple with great, high grade devotees. Arya means they are very noble souls. Those, basically, the instruction here to associate with the high class devotees in a very simple, unpretentious way. Don't try to show off how great you are. Just associate with them in a very humble and simple way. Arjavena, Arya Sangamena. And Niraham Kriya Yatatha. At the very end, he says, what you should do? You should really work with your false ego. Niraham Kriya Yatatha. That's the last instruction, which basically brings us to the point of Trinadapi Sunichana Tarorivasa Hishnana Manina Manadana Kirtani Yasada Hari. And which, again, in my humble opinion, makes or describes the path of devotional service through the stage of sadhana and bhajana kriya and anartha nivritti, bringing us to the point of nishta, which is described in Trinadapi Sunichana verse, where the real taste for devotional service may manifest within our heart. And from that stage on, the practice of devotional service is very simple and joyful. Before that, it may be somewhat troublesome because of the influence of material modes of nature. Nishta basically means you are practically beyond the modes of material nature, or almost beyond. You may be in the higher stages of sattva gun, but because Ruchi already gives you the higher experience. So that's again basically what is described in these verses. And to finish it, I will read the 19th verse, the next verse. Maddharmano gunairetai Parisam Shuddha Ashayah Purushaya Sanjaya Bhyati Shruta Matra Gunan Himam. He basically repeats the same thing which he said before while describing the pure devotional service, Shruti Matrena. He repeats the same thing, Shruta Matra Gunan Himam. You hear a little bit about the Lord, just very little. The example of this is about, of course, Pundarik Vidyanidhi and Mukunda and Gadadhar. You know, he hears just one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam and he's in ecstasy. And we have heard this verse so many times and we never fainted, you know, somehow or other. Why? Because of this very point that this is the stage of pure devotional service, and we have to really understand what it means. It means really beyond the modes of material nature. Means that, you know, we listen a little bit and immediately our whole in the same anjasa, immediately our whole heart is just going there. And Madharmano Gunairita. Anyway, basically Kapila Dev repeats the same thing. He says, you know, if you follow this practice in a very conscientious way, you will be able to reach these things, but don't be in a hurry because it will take a lot of time. Please remember that Srila Siddhartha Swami translates the word sattvina, means dharyana, means you have to tolerate, and Srila Prabhupada specifically says it means that it will take a lot of time. It will not happen immediately. It's not something, it's not some instant recipe, you know, instant coffee or whatever, which you can do very quickly. It's a very elevated stage of consciousness, the highest evolution of human consciousness. And the practice is there, it's available for us to do. We have just to know all these intricacies. And again, after that, he will emphasize, starting from the verse 21, the need to respect all living entities. Again and again and again, the same point. Don't offend anyone, respect everyone according to his position. And that's basically it. So that's what I wanted to tell you. Please forgive me for my imperfections and offenses, and I hope it was proper. Thank you very much. We have a few minutes for questions. Yes. Yes, Madam Ananda.
We brought up this very pertinent and important point of contemplative hearing. That means till now, if you spoke, we need to contemplate, but guna and dosha, you are actually examining yourself all the time. That kind of hearing, and so far I was saying just hear. Just hear, everything will be taken care.
Yeah.
Of course, it might have its own implications and to some degree it might be true, but contemplative hearing will definitely give a lot of understanding. While you are doing this contemplation on your own, you know where you are, and you are situated somewhere here, down, and you actually speak about it, you hear like that. But the problem in the devotional society is that people are too eager to elevate you. How do you deal with that?
Don't take it seriously. What can I say? What else can I say? just say who you are. Therefore it says Arjavena, You should be very kind of unpretentious. You should be very simple and straightforward. And you know, because of course this false ego will be very happily try to appropriate all the praises. Yeah, right. Finally, somebody recognized me, or whatever. But you know, that's why anushravana. We have to constantly hear about our faults, not just once in a while. We have to hear it again and again and again and again and again and again. Contemplate about the problems which are there. As Prabhupada said, until you have this material body, you will have problems. The karma will be there within the body and the mind. Some lust will be there, and pride will be there, and greed will be there. So therefore, this medicine of hearing properly with the introspection and contemplation is very important, otherwise the disease will be aggravated through the practice of devotional service. Therefore, you know, it's not just listening, it's adhyatmika anushravanam. And basically what Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur wants to say is that adhyatmika here doesn't mean about the soul or the spirit. Adhyatmika means about you. Adhyatmika anushravanam. You listen as if it is directly spoken about you, which is the notion described in Svadhyaya words, which we know studying the scriptures, but Svadhyaya literally means self-introspection. We study the scripture, what is the purpose of it? To introspect, to see what's going on within our heart. Yes, very good.
Your observation is very perfect when you said that the increase in ahankar is a side effect of bhakti. It's a very profound statement you have made. When we are expecting that it will be other way around, but nonetheless, observation around in the society confirms your statement as being true. That's all often to be seen within ourselves and people around us. Now, where does this come from? Because is it just, as you said in the beginning, is it just the because the intent is not proper? Is that the only reason, or why does it seem to happen so frequently?
Yes, see, we are fruity by nature, and Hankar is there. And as I said, ahankar is a very special thing. You know, you are, as a doctor, know that some organs in us, they can grow, even if we cut part of it, they can grow into full extent. You know, you can grow, you can cut 2/3 of your liver and it will grow to full liver after some time. You know, ahankar is such an organ that if you cut it 99.9%, it will still grow to the full extent. 100% of some time, even if a little trace of it is left. So that's how it works. That's, you know, you may be very humble, you know, up to the 0.1%, but still, you know, after some time, and very quickly too, not like liver. Liver requires 2-3 years. Ahankar can grow overnight. So basically, why does it so? Because it gives us some pleasure, and because we are lacking some pleasure or some experience, some pleasurable experience, we try to substitute, unconsciously substitute this sort of lacking which we may have Instead of looking for the pleasure where it really is, for Anand, for the bliss where it really is, we are trying to substitute it with a very nasty thing. And therefore, in Hari Bhakti Vilas, one of the last verses is that Svapratishtha, it deals with everything. It deals with practically every possible aspect of our sadhana. And then the very last verse, it is said, one of the very last verses, it is said there that, you may do this, but please do remember that svapratishtha, or pratishtha, the desire for name and fame, is still there, and it's a very dirty thing, and it's like sukharera vishta, it's the stool of the hog, and don't touch it, don't come close to it. So basically, again, the same meaning is there. We may do a lot of things, but still, some of this svapratishtha, pratishtha will remain there. And if we touch it ourselves, if we, allow ourselves to associate with it, it may be there lying, like the stool of the hog, maybe they're lying and you're carefully avoiding it. But as soon as you touch it within yourselves, as soon as you identify yourself with the stool of the hog, Haribol, all your sadhana goes to drain. in the eyes of the Lord, it's not so important. Therefore, we have to remind ourselves again and again and again that this is stool of the hog. And we have a lot of this stool of the hog within us, a lot of this valuable stool which we accumulated. So. Yes.
Yeah. Maharaj, on this 29.15, you nicely explained how it is so important for us to just do our duty. Whether we are Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, whatever is our propensity, according to that we do it, which is glorious. And we see outside in the material world, Maharaj, that people who are doing a particular type of work are given a certain amount of status as compared to others who are doing a so-called materially lower quality of work. Let's say in a company, we are the managing director, so he has a huge big office and he has a board outside saying managing director. Whereas a person who's working in a factory, he may not have even a place to sit. That sort of a distinction is there out in the material world. And sometimes we see that same thing is also coming into our society, although we have this understanding that at the end of the day, whether he is a temple president or whether he is a person who is washing the toilet, from a spiritual point of view and from Krishna's perspective, they are the same. So, my question, Maharaj, is that in spite of so much understanding, of the philosophy, as Kapila Muni is explaining over here, still we also fall into the same trap, and we have like the temple president who will wear a particular dress or his silk clothes, or we'll have the temple president having a beautiful office with his name outside and so on and so forth. So that also subtly plays into our consciousness, saying that I am having this particular position compared to a, and from the outside world also, the same thing happens, that a person who is coming into the temple, he automatically gives a higher position to a person who is the temple president as compared to a person who is just washing vessels. So,
you can see it very clearly during Kumbh Mela, people are very particular who will take snan first, and if you happen to be not in order according to your level of advancement, so people are extremely particular about this. Thank you for this question. I'm thinking a lot about this question because I was recently, and I'm still reading a very interesting book about the culture, how the culture and organizations develops. And In this book it is said that you have to analyze the culture on the three levels. One is the level of artifacts, something which you can see. Another one is the level of proclaimed or the values which people speak about. And another one is the attitudes which are much deeper. So, and the author, he explains that unless you understand the whole three levels, you will not be able to figure out what's really going on in this particular group or organization. Because the proclaimed values may be a different set than the real values which are there within our heart and the attitudes. And his basic advice is that if you really want to develop the proper culture, you have to, you know, put it in a proper perspective so that the proclaimed values are not really different than the real attitudes within the heart. And that is reflected in the artifacts, as you said, the plagues and the dress and the, you know, sitting place and so on and so forth. So the and it's a tricky thing, because even Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains that it's a very difficult thing, because in the material society and even in Varnashrama society, the hierarchy will be somewhat external. You will give bigger respect or higher respect according to the external things. In the society of devotees, the real hierarchy is according to the level of his bhakti or his love, which is very difficult to recognize. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, yes, we externally we accept some sort of external hierarchy. He has been in the movement for so long, therefore a bigger amount of respect is given to him. But at the same time, internally we have to try to develop the proper vision and you know, to give the real respect to somebody who has real bhakti, even though he may not be so externally rewarded, so to speak. So first of all, we definitely have to reward people according to their real qualities and our system of values. Our reward system or punishment system should be according to this. But at the same time, as far as our personal, that's on a system of organization. As far as the organization is concerned, we have to be very conscientious. What do we reward? Raj Bihari Prabhu once told a very beautiful story. He said, when he first became Raj Bihari from Washington, D.C., when he first became the temple president, it was during the marathon. And of course, the talk is always, as always in our temples, is about cooperation. But what he saw, in reality, everyone was competing with each other, up to the point that they were putting some sugar into the you know, into the cars where the petrol is, and, you know, so that others would not distribute so many books, or just, you know, anyways, so many things he noticed. And then he realized that the reward was that one who distributes the most books will go to India for vacations for 2 months, and therefore the race was there. So he thought a little bit about this, and then he came and he, you know, called everyone and he said, we all go to India if we distribute 150,000 books. That will be the reward of the whole our temple. Everyone who is there in the temple will go no matter what if we distribute so many books. And all of a sudden the whole modus operandi changed, and nobody would put sugar anymore into the... you know, this. So, first of all, on the level of organization, we definitely have to be very careful what our, you know, proclaimed values and the reward and punishment system. At the same time, in our dealings, we have to give the external respect to people who are in a higher position. That's necessary to keep the peace and the proper functioning of the society, because in the society it's inevitable. There's nothing wrong with it. But at the same time, we also have to develop the vision how to recognize the real qualities of devotion within and relate with others according to this scale as well. So that's what I can say. I'm afraid that I'm already 10 minutes late, so I don't really know.
We can take just one question.
You please choose the question. There are few questions. Yeah.
Any Maharaj wants to ask? Hare Krishna. Sometimes when we are conducting seva, as per regular seva, it is noticed that sometimes you are fully pleased, content and happy. But sometimes totally disturbed. You have not made any mistake, but totally disturbed. Sometimes in between. So this absorption keeps on changing. Now even the Kapila says to his mother that my devotees are so much absorbed in the devotional service, even they don't think of any mukti and other things. So how to gain this, how to achieve this absorption?
I spoke about this the whole lecture. That was the topic, how to get this absorption, because now we're absorbed in our mind, and because material mind is always fluctuating, then we're deriving sometimes happiness, sometimes distress from devotional service. But the point is that we have to gain this absorption, and basically all these instructions are to get to this level, and that's what I was trying to explain.
Last question.
Yeah, yes.
Generally parents pray for children devotional life while performing devotional service. So in which mode this devotional service comes? And should we leave it on God, or should we pray for our children devotional life?
So if you really want that your children will become devotees and you try to force them a little bit. Encourage them.
Pray, yeah. Yeah. It is a desire in our heart. So which mode we should take?
Yeah, there is nothing wrong in having this desire. It's good if you have this desire. It's just you shouldn't be too attached to this desire and too attached to the result. If this desire is not fulfilled somehow or other, you should not be too much disappointed. The desire itself is not wrong, because it's a good desire. It's a devotional desire. Naturally, we want others to be devotees. What's wrong with it? But if we become too attached to our that our children and become angry or you know, then that's definitely, you know, this desire in itself may be in the modes of nature. It may be transcendental, totally transcendental desire. I just want that Krishna gets more pleasure from this particular soul and he serves the Krishna. It's transcendental. If you desire this because you know that your child will help you to get liberation, as usually in India, you know, if the child is doing something good, it will be good for me, that maybe sattva gun. If you're attached to your position in the society to say, you know, my child is the best and your child is such a nonsense, that may be rajagun and so on and so forth. So so in itself this desire is not bad. Just see what you want to gain from this desire when it is fulfilled. And ultimately, our gain should be only one, that the Lord is pleased. Pleased with me and pleased with my child, which is the best desire which I may have. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Maharaj, for this amazing talk. More than a talk, it was a, I felt it was a very serious teaching that you gave. And Ravi, thank you for this, and I'm sure all of us felt the same. It was an anesthetic surgery. We all got very deeply cured. We thank Maharaj and we go on for our next session, discussion, to the yesterday's discussion that we had about from the EC Committee, about the discussion that they had with maybe I thought we could stand up and stretch ourselves for the next 2 minutes.
Who's leaving? Chris?
Great,
very good.
Because his mother tongue is Hindi.
Very good. I'm very happy. Very happy. Thank you very much. Yes. So, tomorrow you wanted me to go to Bombay, right?
Yeah.
What time?
Sunday. Lecture is at 1 o'clock. It will take around 2.5 hours. Can leave at 9.
9:30. 9:30 is okay with you? Yeah. Future morning, like program and bhajan and everything. 9:30. Thank you.
When will you come?
Hare Krishna. When will you come to Russia? Have some development, something is going on.
I'll meet you, Maharaj, today. I'll meet you in your room. Today and tomorrow I'm here, so we'll find some time.
Sure. Thank you.
Going
deep analysis. Back to the basics. Getting back to the basics, Maharaj.
It's Nam Prabhu. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Krishna Chandra Prabhu. So happy to see you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for encouraging me. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
How are you?
Nice. Thank you.
How's your service going on in Bhaktivedanta Hospital?
Yes, Maharaj, we are just under the guidance of Vaishnavas, trying to put things as it is required to take care of the patients, body, mind and soul. And things are working out, and patients are appreciating our attempts to take care of them as a whole unit, Maharaj. Doctors are increasing, patients are increasing.
Thank you. Yeah, I see a lot of people, a lot. I was there on the way here. I may go there tomorrow as well, on the way back, because I'm going to Chaupati.
You'll be there for
class, yeah. I will give class in Chaupati tomorrow. Yeah. Sunday.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Yes, sir.
Once I met along with Janak Prabhu.
Yes, I remember.
My name is Paramas Das.
Uh-huh.
I just wanted to ask one thing. In Latvia, in Russia,
There is
group active. It is called, the website name is serious-eng.net.
I don't know this group.
They talk about ascended masters messages.
Ascended what?
Ascended masters messages. There is one messenger. She's able to connect to the higher
channeler, page. channeling,
something like that.
I have no idea. There's plenty of these people.
Thank you
very much. Thank you very much.
Always such a pleasure to hear from you.
I owe my life to you.
We are the servants.
So, Maharaj, the thing is, there is so much of description of glories of devotional service, and all the devotees get attracted. That's how they follow the path.
Yeah.
But gradually we realize that although we are practicing devotional service is a perfect path. Yeah. But due to influence of modes of material nature, it doesn't work out.
Because we are not practicing it perfectly. The point is that we have to do it. You know, and as soon as you start doing it perfectly, you will feel the results. Otherwise, the results will not be there. That's the point. And it's a science. That's what I was trying to say.
So should the society not evolve a sort of education system.
Yeah, definitely, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. It has to, yeah, it has to come with this system, because we're too mechanical and too, we're taking devotional service for granted. That's what I wanted to say. That was the main message. We're just taking it too cheaply for granted. That I'm engaged in devotional service, fine, I'm already there. I'm not there.
But I know, within a year, I could learn Bhagavad Gita and could preach.
Preaching is simple. It gives a lot, it's fun.
And suddenly I become preacher, I get recognized, I get, you know. But the internal purification has not taken place.
Yeah, because of this imperfections. That was exactly my point of what I was trying to explain, that we shouldn't take it for granted that we are engaged in pure devotional service.
Should there not be a system of evaluation and training?
Absolutely.
For qualitative development of
self-evaluation, definitely. Definitely. Thank you very much. Mahaprabhu, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. You wanted to come to Russia?
Yeah.
You still want?
I will be happy to come.
Of course, it should be summer. Now it's already quite cold.
At that time.
Give me your passport copy and we'll arrange invitation.
How long you are here?
I'm here. And tomorrow I will go to Chaupati. I'm here till 24th. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
How are you?
So every time you come, you make us realize our situation where we are.
It's my situation I'm describing.
Last time you came here,
mm-hmm.
So you said nothing is going to happen naturally. You have to put your efforts.
Yeah. It's natural, but you still have to put efforts.
We try. Thank you.
Natural because it's according to the nature of the soul, but otherwise...